All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis podcast, as you were.
And welcome back to the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are all right. Today we are back once again with another fantastic episode. We are going to be looking at Go Let It Out, and it's a double header. I've got two interviews today, one with Danny Tipping, a guitar player from the Britpop band The Kind, who are back with a great new album. We've heard from both Danny and his brother Tristan before, back in 2021 when we were at Speakeasy Festival, but we are back again because they've got a new album coming out, plus also to discuss our main topic of today, which is Oasis A to Z for Go Let It Out. Go Let It Out, the number one single from 2000. So very excited to be discussing that. Also, the second interview today is also on Go Let It Out, and it is with Nick Johnson from the Oasis tribute band Standing on the Shoulder of Oasis. And we are focused a bit more on the bass lines, and we also dig into sort of a few different bass lines from Oasis history. So that was a really good chat, because I've been really sort of focusing in on bass lines a little bit more. I've been playing the bass a little bit myself for the last couple of weeks. And yeah, it's a fascinating part of the Oasis story, and we don't really talk about it enough. So let's dig into that a little bit more today. Also, news-wise, Noel has released a new song, kind of. So this is the Robert Smith remix of Pretty Boy. Heard a little bit there just before I started talking, so let's have a little bit more now. What do you think about it? I actually prefer this to the original. I think it's interesting that you know, I love that guitar in it, the acoustic guitar and the electric guitars. I think is fantastic. I think it's and the drumming sounds so much better than the original version. It's got that weird like Casio-ish type drumming, whereas this has actually got proper drums. And yeah, I think generally, you know, you can tell it's a Robert Smith remix. It's got that more sort of Cure type sound to it, which I think is very cool. I don't really like the vocal production. That's sort of annoying a bit. You know, I wish we could just actually hear Noel's voice properly. That would have been better. But yeah, all in all, I think it's a decent version of a good song, probably preferable to the original, like we said, mainly because of the difference in the drums. And I really just find it interesting that, you know, that acoustic guitar is hidden in there. The electric guitars are in there. There's so much good stuff. You know, I was talking about this in an episode recently, I think, where it's like, you know, we criticise a song, like, yeah, it was good or it was crap, but the amount of work that goes into this stuff, all of these elements, like when you hear a remix and you hear all the different things that are in there in the background, but you maybe just can't even hear it. But yeah, that's fantastic, isn't it? There's some really good stuff in there. So yeah, nice to hear a few different bits being pulled out and focused on. Also, Noel is now starting to ramp up promotion for the new album, which is, what, 2nd of June? So we're a couple of months away now. He did an interview a couple of weeks ago on the Joe Wiley Radio 2 show. I don't think I dropped any clips of that in before, so let's drop a little bit in here.
Were you nervous at this point about doing it? Do you get nervous?
There was all a bit of Mancunian bravado and beers and all that. It was only when they introduced me from the side of the stage... And he gave me this introduction and Oasis and this, that, and the other. Why don't you say hello to Noel, Mr. Noel Gallagher? And on I walked, and then it dawned on me that this is the first time I was ever going to do anything without a guitar. And I didn't know what to do. And I was stood rather awkwardly, and luckily there was a stool there, and it kind of ended a bit like Val Dunican, I've got to say. But I did all right. And it was there was a great party in his dressing room. It was like Kate Moss was there, and all the people who hung out with him were all smoking and drinking. And he's like, you know, he's a legend from the 60s, and he's not smoking or drinking. And
one of the greatest moments of your life.
Absolutely. You know, like a lad from a council estate doesn't normally get to do those kind of things.
Tell me now, is it so? Don't let me. Shaking, don't let my heart keep breaking, 'cause I need your love, I want your love, say you're in love with this guy. If not, I'll just die.
So, you know, Joe Wiley, she does a fantastic job. She knows the right questions to ask and ask them in a great manner where she's not then just an excuse to hear her own voice like some other DJs on the radio. Also, Noel did an appearance this Saturday just gone on Soccer AM, which was a bit less incisive but still entertaining.
Well, when my kids were young... Right, and used to cut their food up into tiny little squares. And, of course, anyone who's got kids will know, once you eat all their leftovers, you know what I mean, like sausage. And I was like, you know what? I like these little fun-sized bites. These are easier to manage.
Easier to manage while you're putting
I eat like a seven-year-old now.
So you cut the crust off?
Yeah, everything, yeah.
I heard you have three pieces of fruit and then you have three pieces of toast, but you have one and a half with peanut butter.
We've really done our own.
And one and a half with Marmite.
That's right, yeah.
That's quality.
Yeah. I have to, well, when you get to my age, you've got to amuse yourself somehow.
All right, let's move on to the main reason we're here today, which is to talk about Go Let It Out. Before I move over to the conversation with Danny, let's just pick up on a few bits from Twitter and other things like that. So I asked on Twitter to rate out of 5, as we always do. 5 got 35%, 4 got 42%, 3 got 20%, and 2 got 3%. Dan Best says Whispers 2, 3, 4, 5 for me. Now we're talking Jimbo, 5 all day long. In my top 10, one of their best videos, a two fingers up to the establishment. The right time is always now. Whoever directed the video, though, should have had the camera on Gem at the end playing the solo. Yeah, very true. The video director was Nick Egan, because I interviewed him twice, episodes 140 and 142. Cheers, Dan. We're going to be hearing from Dan soon, actually. He's going to be coming up on an episode very shortly. The Harvey Boys, our friend Ryan Harvey, I think I haven't heard from him for a while, actually. Where have you been, Ryan? 4, fond memories of rocking around my uni bedroom, playing along to the radio, recording made. Not the best, so not 5, but was a great single. Of course, don't forget the Austin Powers demo. Noel singing it recently was not good. Only one voice for this. B-sides are faves. Yes, a couple of very good points there. So let's drop in some clips. The demo is fantastic. It's got the Austin Powers clip. Gutted when they released the final version, they didn't have this. This clip just works so perfectly, so well edited. Let's go for it.
You know, a lot's changed since 1967.
No doubt, though, but as long as people are still having promiscuous sex with many anonymous partners without protection, while at the same time experimenting with mind-expanding drugs in a consequence-free environment, I'll be sound as a pound.
So, yeah, I love that. I love the fact that it's coming from, if people don't know, it's the first Austin Powers film. And it's when he's just arrived in 1997, having been frozen in 1967. And it's just brilliant. It just sort of really sums up kind of where the world was at the time with the changes and everything. And the fact that Oasis looked back to the 60s using Austin Powers in that way, I just thought was fantastic. And it's perfect in this song as well, because it's got the Mellotron and the sort of general psychedelic-y feel to it. Throwback to the 60s. So yeah, great use of a little fun little sample there. And obviously they were messing around with samples a little bit. You've got the samples in Fucking in the Bushes. You've got the weird little scratch at the start of the record. Yeah, great that they were starting to experiment, and then they didn't really anymore, but there you go. And then the other point Ryan made there was Noel singing it recently. Yeah, I don't mind the Noel demo version, but I didn't like Noel's recent version he did of it a couple of years ago. I think it was released as a Spotify exclusive, but yeah, didn't think that was great. Let's have a little bit of that. No illusion, try and click with what you got. Taste every potion, because if you like yourself a lot, go let it out. Yeah, so didn't particularly enjoy that version of it. And I can see he was sort of trying to do something else. And it feels like an overall sort of High Flying Birds live take. But yeah, it just felt a bit messy, to be honest. So yeah, should have been Liam. Yeah, and the B-sides, obviously, the B-sides are absolutely fantastic. Let's All Make Believe, especially. What an incredible song. Matt at M4Tet. No one does opening singles like Oasis did. Missed us since last album? Bang, have this then. Supersonic. Some might say, do you know what I mean? Then this. They've all got the swagger, arrogance and catchy hook that pull you back in from wherever you've been since the last Oasis record. Love it. Brilliantly put, Matt. Great stuff. Paul Costello. Really liked this when it was released and it still sounds good. Great grit in Liam's vocals and cool drums and bass parts. Also like how there are two guitar solos at the end after the last chorus, particularly one that sneaks in just as the song is fading out. I think that one. All right, well, let's hear how he actually does it, shall we? Richard Bowes, as effective a comeback single as they released, in terms of managing expectations for the album, namely the overhaul of the sound, the whistle heralds a wonderful final flourish, one of their most exciting moments. Yeah, I love that. What a great idea to have a whistle going off. You know, why would you add that? Just, you know, love it. Great stuff. Richard also said, in a great trippy video, despite the final shot looking like some scaffolding sinking. Yes, so that's an interesting point. If you go back and listen to the episode I did with Nick Egan, he actually had all kinds of interesting ideas of what he was going to do there. And they'd had these kind of great designs for what the stage was going to look like. And it was going to be like a futuristic festival and it was going to be amazing. And then, yeah, and then it just ended up looking a bit weird. and random. So yeah, so it didn't quite work out. But I love the video anyway. It's really good fun. Dean Best, love it. 5 for me. A fixture on my running playlist. The build-up to the whistle and the final chorus always gets me moving from waddle to some form of jog. Fair enough. Trevor Duncanson, can't think of a stronger number 2 song on any of their releases. When that whistle comes in, blows everything away. In my top 5 of all time. Is it the best number 2 on an Oasis album? Shaker Maker, yeah, better than that. Roll With It, I'd probably go Roll With It above it. Be Here Now, My Big Mouth, no, I would go My Big Mouth. Force of Nature, definitely go Let It Out. Don't Believe the Truth, Mucky Fingers, definitely go Let It Out. And Dig Out Your Soul, The Turning, I'd probably go The Turning. Yeah, so actually, no, I don't have it as the best number 2. There's a few number 2s I'd have above it there. Dave Scholes, I've gone for a 4, great tune and love the video. First appearance for Gem, yes, very good point. The lyrics are a lift from Princes and Kings, but who cares? Banger. Right, so this is something we need to cover then. Like we were talking about Gas Panic last time, and I was saying what a, you know, what an overt steal Gas Panic was from that Oscar Wilde poem. Well, same thing here. Go Let It Out is a direct lift from the poem Bag of Tools by R.L. Sharp, which is from the early 1900s. And it goes, isn't it strange how princes and kings and clowns that caper in sawdust rings and common people like you and me are builders for eternity? So, yeah, that's pretty close, isn't it? Now, would Noel have found that? Well, someone did say on Twitter, I think, that he was quoted at the time as saying he'd like pulled a poetry book off the shelf and found that line. I can't remember that, to be honest. No, he's definitely said that before. He said it on a recent Matt Morgan interview, actually, but not about this song in particular. I wonder if he heard it from this. So the reggae band The Heptones did a song called Book of Rules, which basically uses that poem as the for the lyrics. And I've got a feeling, you know, being big reggae fans as they are, that there's a good chance he might have heard this. So yeah, so let's have a little bit of the two next to each other so you can compare the lyrics. Jay Fay the YY says, missed the vote. Oh yeah, sorry, I only run this. I normally run the vote for a week, but I accidentally pressed one day, so this didn't get as many votes. Still got like over 500 though, which was cool. 4.5 for me with the B-sides, pushing the whole single to a 6 out of 5. Well, no, I'm pleased you missed the vote because you're not having that. But yeah, thank you very much. Matt Welby says, feel the bass. Now, this is interesting. This is a good point. What does Noel say at the start? Most people think, and I've always said over the years, it's pick up the bass. However, I believe it's been confirmed that he doesn't say pick up the bass. He says pick up the pace, as in, come on, we need to be playing a little bit quicker. But yeah, let's have a little listen here and see if we can pick it out. Pick up the pace. Yeah, I think it probably is still pick up the pace, but I prefer pick up the bass. And then obviously when Liam does it, he says normally some sort of variation on pick up your face or something like that. This is him doing it at Wembley.
Hello, Manchester.
Ali Stewart says, the way it builds towards a big finish lifts it from a 3 to 4. Great comeback single that stood the test of time. The exact moment the key change kicked in was when you knew the gig had started when they played live at this time. Very good point. Key change. Now, this is a rare key change in Oasis songs, as in a typical modulation key change where you just take the same chorus, but then you just move it up a key. It's a cheap trick that often like pop bands will do and you know X Factor type people will do. It's normally when Westlife get off their stools, and it's often like cheesy as hell. But go let it out; it just works brilliantly, especially like we've said with the whistle and everything, and then it just all comes together. You have that that build up with the Magical Mystery Tour sounding kind of keyboard sounds. And then the bow, 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 bow whistle, and then it kicks in. Brilliant. Absolutely love it. Sean McLaughlin, good tune, but a touch too slow for me. Solid 3. I get that. Yeah, I can see that it is a little bit slow, isn't it? It's sort of got that kind of groove that was on quite a few of the Standing on the Shoulder of Giants songs. That's probably the maybe the Gem influence or the Giving Up Drugs influence might be, to be honest. Jamie Smith, one of my favourites from the second era of Oasis. I don't tend to put this as second era. I put this as like mid. I sort of had this as the weird transition album. 3 at the front, 3 at the end, and this is sort of the weird sort of middle child, which I like. Danny O'Hanlon, I loved it at the time, but it drags a bit when I hear it now. The Noel Gallagher High Flying Birds version is much lighter on its feet, a bit more soul than rock. In a dream world, we would love a Liam vocal on that version. Cool, okay. Gerard Wallace, definitely a greatest hits song. Yes, it is. Well, it was a number one song, so yes, it would be. And I kind of get the point, actually. It's sort of, it would sound good in the greatest hits. Not that I ever really listened to a greatest hits, but there you go. Cree195 says, 3 for me, middle of road. I don't really like it, but don't not like it. I cannot listen to it now without wondering, what am I missing? So many seem to love it. I get that. I think it's a, you know, it's sort of more of an interesting kind of experiment of a song, especially as compared to, you know, some of the earlier ones. So, yeah, I can understand why someone might be a bit confused by it or just not really get why people love it so much. One of the points I'll make on it, actually, is I think one of the reasons that I never thought it was outstanding and it didn't blow me away too much is that I always compare it to Going Out by Supergrass. So Going Out by Supergrass, once again, that for them was like a comeback single, although a few years before. It had a similar video of them playing, although Supergrass are in like a bandstand, but it's similar. They're out in the they're out playing in like a park or whatever. It's got similar words and a similar vibe. It's got that 60s feel. It's got organ in it, although it's not Mellotron, but it's organ. And it's just generally got that vague feel. But I think the Supergrass song is better. I really love the Supergrass song, and I don't think this one's as good. So it probably drops a little bit because, as I said, they're very different songs in a lot of ways. But it just always, I've always sort of thought of them as peas in a pod, really. So, and the Supergrass one being the slightly tastier pea. Oh God. Clark Crosby, Crosses 84. Big tune. From the pick up the bass to the whistle at the end, it just flies. Classic, nonsensical Oasis chorus 2, top draw. Well, we know it is sensical because of what it's pulled from. One point about that, actually, the nonsensical part or like the lyrics generally, you know, that sort of vaguely kind of social conscience lyric. Is it any wonder how princes and kings are clowns that caper in sawdust rings, ordinary people that are like you and me, we're the keepers of their destiny? I really like that because it sort of did have that kind of togetherness message and at the same time, Masses Against the Classes by the Manic Street Preachers had gone to number one, and then this went to number one, and I thought, maybe there's going to be a new push of like more political messages and ideas in this post-Britpop era. It didn't really happen at all, but anyway, there was two big number ones by big Britpop bands that both had like kind of a nice political message in them, but it didn't really go anywhere from there. Rob at AFCRC, remember when the video came out and was like, wow, Noel's on bass for it? Yeah, very interesting. And one point I was going to make, actually, when like a video for a concert or for a music video focuses on an instrument, is it me or can you like hear that instrument more? You can pick it out more. I suppose it must be a brain thing that if you can see the instrument, you can also hear it better. I don't know why, but yeah, I think that's interesting. I think I touch on that in the interview as well. The fact that the bass line is so prominent. Well, I wonder if that is partly as well because we're so used to seeing that video of Noel playing it. And obviously Noel ends up being more of a focus in the video than Gwigs or Andy Bell would be in a video. And so, yeah, so we're just used to seeing the bass being played. And maybe it just means that is just ingrained into our minds a little bit. And hence we can hear it a bit more. I don't know. I'm yammering on now, aren't I? Dan at Dan Mac Saund 77. 4, underwhelmed when it first came out, didn't love the lyrics, definitely grown on me, takes off after the whistle and final chorus into the solo, bass more melodic too, classic NG to create a brilliant original song whilst also lifting most of the Bag of Tools poem. Anthony Haley, 4 for me, I remember being pretty underwhelmed when it first came out, but it just got better with every listen and love it now. Big highlight from the Noughties collection. Peter Lavan, at Tasiche, 4, will comment anyway. Fantastic first single. Love the use of the Mellotron. Let's not forget Let's All Make Believe was on the single too. It really is just an outrageous B-side, which to this day cannot believe was not in the album as it's truly in their top 5 tracks ever. Well, you know I agree with that. Batspur, great tune. 5 out of 5. It's so well produced and Liam's vocals are superb. Yes, let's give a quick shout out to the producer, shall we? And also just cover the general personnel. So what's happening on this song? Liam Gallagher is doing lead vocals and apparently does the whistle. Noel Gallagher is playing electric and acoustic guitars, bass, mellotron and organ. And Alan White is playing drums and also there is dealing with the drum loop. Now, what is the drum loop? The drum loop is from Johnny Jenkins' version of Dr. John's Walk on Gilded Splinters. Now, you might know that song more for the fact Paul Weller covered it. and it was produced by Mark Stent and Noel Gallagher. And we've talked a lot about Strange Boy Stacey recently. He's not officially mentioned on this one, but obviously on the album generally, he's the engineer. So, yeah, so he's definitely involved in it. Okay, Stephen Swan, 3, because Noel stole all the lyrics from a poem. Also a fairly average tune, whatever lyrics you add to it. Gary Hayden, 1874, amazing track and an amazing moment in time. Go let it out. Cam Reddin, a strong 4, brilliant statement piece for Oasis 00's era. One of a few songs on Standing on the Shoulder of Giants that are enhanced by the maturity and gruffness of Liam's voice at the time. Very true. Yeah, you can really hear the change in the voice, I think, from Be Here Now. So, yeah, really like that. Poetry and lyrics is okay. Sister Psychosis is great. You know what? That's a really good point. That's a great line. Sister Psychosis. And then what does he follow that up with? Don't got a lot to say. It's another one where when Noel talks about not knowing what to say or, yeah, don't got a lot to say. Well, fair enough. Dwala, this is as good as post-1997 Oasis would sound. A definite high point on Giants. Pity Noel didn't write more groove-based stuff like this. Also, they should have kept the Austin Powers soundbite in the intro. Very good point. Stanis Stan, I have a lot of fondness for this album. I know it isn't the greatest, but it reminds me of happier times. Also, Go Let It Out is the closest they ever got to the Beatles. Noel agrees. So let's get this quote. It's from the Lock the Box. He says, this is the closest we came to sounding like a modern day Beatles. So there you go. Kieran Sheridan, used to love it. Gone right off it now, though. It's a 2 for me. I, Jarvo, 5, top tune. Susie in the Sky, love it. Always goosebumps with the whistle and outro. Love when Liam says, pick up your face live. Video is very cool. Nice to see Liam playing guitar. Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, Liam's playing the guitar in the video, isn't he? Yeah, I really like that. That's nice to see. Also, the B-side, Let's Make Believe, is magnificent. So that makes it one of my favourite records from the band. Dee Dee, an all-round great Oasis classic. Distinct opening beat. You know exactly what you're going to get. A timeless belting vocal. Liam is able to pull this tune off no matter the era. A definite high 4, tipping to 5. Best served tuned up loud. Absolutely. Wardy, pick up the bass. The video was the first time seeing Gem in the band. Start of a new era and my wife's favourite Oasis song. Nice one. Well done, Mrs. Wardy. Great choice. And lastly, Inner Quasar 35. 10 out of 10 all night, along with Fuck It in the Bushes. All right, brilliant stuff. Well, there we go. I think that's covered off most of what I was going to say. Oh, the only real other point to make on it is let's talk about it being played live. So Oasis played it 192 times. The first time they played it was on Top of the Pops on February the 10th, 2000. They also played it on later with Jules the next day. So let's have a little bit of that. And then basically it was there for the whole of that tour from February 19th in San Remo. It was played in the 2001 Broadly Love Tour. It was played in the Noise and Confusion Tour, including the Barrowlands gig. And then it was played into the 2002 tour as well for Heathen Chemistry. And the last play ever of it was December 19th, 2002 in Birmingham. Now, we said earlier that Noel played it, as he did it as a Spotify single. He has also played it live 70 times, basically on the Who Built the Moon tour from February 9th, 2018 through to November the 10th, 2018. Also, Liam played it. Strangely enough, he only actually played it 4 times. In 2021 at the O2 Arena, Leeds, Reading and Transmit. And I suppose the last point to make, like we always discuss, was it right being where it was on the album? Should it have been a single? I think it was a good comeback single. I think, you know, on the single, like we've said, actually, Let's All Make Believe is the better song, I think. I think it's the song I prefer. But I don't think that would have been a right as a comeback single. And then when you look at the Standing on the Shoulder of Giants album, would there have been a better comeback single from it? I don't think so, really. I think for, you know, it tends to be, it's a relatively sort of downbeat and quiet album. Other than Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is and I Can See a Liar, which are pretty, you know, averagey tracks. So, yeah, I don't think there's anything else that I think would have worked better as a single. So, yeah, I absolutely think the Go That Out was probably the right choice there. And also because it was a bit different, because it had a different feel to Be Here Now and, you know, and with the prominent bass that we've discussed. So, yeah, so I think that's that does make sense. And I think having it number two on the album, like the first proper song after the instrumental on the album, is a great spot. Similar to, do you know what I mean, like that coming first. You know, it's like, here's the single and now onto the album. So, yeah, I really like that. All right, enough chat from me. Let's go and hear some more chat from me, this time with Danny Tipping from The Kind. Welcome back to the Oasis podcast. Danny from The Kind, how you doing, man?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Where are you? Well, that's lovely logs, log beams behind you. That's very nice.
I am in London Bridge in the historic Leather Market building.
Oh, okay. Hanging around in a leather market, that's up to you what you want to do on a... on an afternoon. Anyway, and yeah, so very excited to, I know we speak, we're just saying we spoke very briefly in a very loud and exciting speakeasy. Was it last year or is it, how long ago is that now? What year is it? 21, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was December 21.
Right, okay. So it's not last year. It was, yeah, just about a year and a bit ago. But yeah, so that was last time we caught up and it's been exciting sort of a, few months for you guys. You've been recording and yeah, new album and well, a new single here and new album on the way.
Yeah, we had a new single out on the 24th, and we've got our new album Timelines is coming out on the 10th of March.
Excellent. And so just so you know, to fill people in if they've not listened to us before, the funny kind of, you know, world collide whatever with ourselves was that my band, Vision, unsigned band, we never did a huge amount, but one of the gigs that we played in Oxford happened to be supporting you guys. And yeah, and it's always gone down as, you know, you were pretty much the one band, you know, most bands that we played with, I thought, well, we're better than them, you know, they're crap, we're great, you know, because I had that kind of, you know, wannabe Liam Gallagher sort of a vibe. And then when I saw you guys, I sat there like, bollocks. That's a proper band. We're kids playing at this. You know what I mean? Because you guys had it. You had the look, you had the you know, the songs, you had the harmonies, and I just thought, okay, maybe we're not the finished article yet. But yeah, so that was quite a big one for me. So when I heard you then coming back, because I'd remembered the name over the years and I would look you up occasionally, I thought, oh yeah, they're your videos on YouTube, yeah, they're a great band. And I still had the CD as well. And yeah, so I was really excited when you came back. And then obviously me doing the podcast now, our sort of worlds kind of crossed over. So that was all good fun.
Well, yeah, no, yeah, happy coincidence. That was back in the day at the Bullingdon, wasn't it, on the Cowley Road,
yes. Which
yeah. Is still going today, of course. So unlike most of the venues we played in the 90s, which are no longer there. Yeah, no, we're really, really excited to be back, and we're really glad to be playing and reconnecting with people like yourself, Jeff, that do remember the band from the mid to late 90s, the few that do. And you know, and people are still, you know, listening to the music. So, yeah, great to catch up.
Yeah, and talking about Oxford, you're going back to Oxford. You're playing the Jericho Tavern, which is a really great, a very historic venue as well.
Yeah, the guys from Speakeasy fanzine, which I think will probably be familiar to some of your listeners, who put on the Speakeasy Festival in High Wycombe that you mentioned earlier, have organised a night at the Jericho Tavern, which is a fantastic venue. So, I mean, the likes of Ride and the Candy Skins and Swerve Driver and Radiohead would have all cut their teeth at the Jericho Tavern back in the day. And certainly The Kind played there in the 90s, and they're putting on a night. I'm going to have to ask you to check this, James, but I think it's the 16th of June.
Yeah, 16th of June.
At the Jericho.
The Jericho Tavern. You've got the Institutes there as well, haven't you?
Yeah, we love the Institutes. Again, we played with them at the first Speakeasy Festival, and they're coming down from Coventry, and it's going to be a really good night, and I hope a few of your listeners can get along to that.
Yeah, that would be great. And it's, as I say, Oxford is my city, really. I'm from 10 miles outside Oxford, and it was my city. That was where we, you know, would play on the Cowley Road in bands and stuff, and it's had such an incredible... I know you guys are a bit further down the road in High Wycombe, and it wasn't really necessarily a hotbed for musical talent. Whereas did you kind of, you know, you said you played in Cali Road, did you sort of eye Oxford kind of jealously from 20 miles
yeah,
east?
A little bit. When we grew up out in the sticks, we were sort of equidistant between London and Oxford, basically. So those were our two musical hubs. And a lot of the bands we loved came from, obviously, those cities. So Oxford obviously had 530 and Ride. And then later the Supergrass and just loads of great bands came out of Oxford and had great pubs and venues to play in. And likewise, obviously we were drawn to London. So split between the two, but yeah, it feels like a bit of a musical home to us, really.
Yeah. Well, and obviously you worked with Andy Bell as well back in the day. He produced a lot of your stuff back then. So yeah. How did that? I don't know if I've asked that. How did that come about, the Andy Bell collaboration?
We were signed to a little record label in London, and we were big Ride fans. We love Andy Bell's work, and they said, "Oh, who do you want to produce your first studio sessions?" And we just said Andy Bell, like flippantly, thought we were being clever, and they went, "Okay, we'll ask." And yes, I mean, it was literally, I wanted to come up with some clever story. He had seen us play, actually. We did a couple of others playing a Small Faces tribute. That's where he first saw us, but the label approached him and he said yes. So that was our sort of introduction to Andy, really.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's great. And by all accounts, a great guy who has helped out various bands and things over the years and now just doing loads of great work.
His solo work, DJing, production work. And then, of course, Ride came back very successfully a few years ago, a couple of great albums under their belt and the tours. And so he just hasn't stopped.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable, really. Yeah, great run. Great run of form, as they say in sport. So the album's coming shortly, which I'm really excited about. So just to check, this was like, it was basically the second album that you had lined up, effectively. It's those songs, but you never got to do that. And so you're really sort of dusting those off.
All the songs that we were working on at the end of our time together at the end of the 90s, that would have been the second album. And when we came back 18 months ago, or 2 years ago, to celebrate the anniversary of our first single, we were going back through our boxes of tapes and mini discs, remember them, and we had to put them back together. In it's a bit like musical archaeology, piecing the bits back together, finishing songs which were only half finished, and with the plan of releasing the album that we would have done right at the sort of tail end of the 90s, early noughties, had we not split up. So we tried to be quite strict with ourselves to, you know, to stick to that theme, that it sort of, it sounds and feels like the album we would have made then. And we went back to a studio we recorded at in the 90s, which really hasn't changed at all. All the same kit and gear. And yeah, we're really happy with it.
So you worked with a couple of really great producers and sound engineers who've got history of Primal Scream and Oasis as well, actually, Barry Grint.
Yeah, so we recorded the album with a guy called Brian O'Shaughnessy in his studios, Bark Studios in Walthamstow, and in the late 80s and early 90s, they were a real go-to studio for creation bands doing demos and pre-production work. And Primal Scream recorded some of the sessions for Screamadelica in there. When we were in there, some of the master tapes for Come Together were sitting on top of one of the pianos. And Brian's worked with Denim and My Bloody Valentine and Dodgy and Sleeper, so a great track record. And that was a recommendation of Andy's back in the 90s, so we wanted to go back there to make this album. And then an engineer called Barry Grint, who works at Air Studios, which is a world famous mastering studios, he's absolute legend in the industry. He's worked with Bowie and REM and Oasis, and he's got gold and platinum records from Oasis on his studio walls, and he's mastered all the recent Liam Gallagher solo albums. So there's an Oasis connection there, and he's fantastic, and they've made the album sound amazing. So we're really happy with how that's turned out.
That's fantastic. No, that's brilliant. Yeah, and as I said, he's one of those people that you always sort of show up on. Barry Grint, he's one of those guys that is named on quite a few Oasis credits, if you're someone me that scours the credits. So yeah, well, that's brilliant. So when can the people hear the album?
So it's we've had a couple of singles out, and the album itself comes out on March the 10th. The album's called Timelines, and you can buy that on or pre-order that directly from our Bandcamp. We've got a really nice vinyl package and some limited edition CDs, and of course it will be available to stream on all the usual platforms on the 10th of March.
Excellent. And are you going to put a little ball, a little silver ball, in the CD case this time?
We've avoided that temptation this time, but I'm sure we've talked about this before. But there are still, you can still buy an original copy of Shakedown with a ball bearing in the spine, but people want like 30 or 40 quid for it.
Really?
I wish I'd kept hold of a few more copies.
I've got my one actually. It's one of those. Yeah, it was just such an ingenious idea. I don't think anyone had ever done it, because people that don't know, like the front cover is like a roulette wheel, isn't it? And so it was such a great kind of what a brilliant idea, you know.
I'm sure that was my, I'll take credit for that. I'm sure that was my
That's fantastic. But yeah, so it's been, so really looking forward to it. As I said, I've really enjoyed the two singles you guys have put out so far since you have come back. And yeah, it would just be great to have you guys back again. I mean, the one thing I was going to pick up on, I mentioned it briefly on a previous episode, but Chris Moyles was in the news the other day for sort of having a go at unsigned bands. I think someone had a go at him for not playing unsigned bands, and he basically said, well, look, the vast majority of them are crap, I'm not going to play them. And you sort of think, oh, that's nice for you, you could be out changing people's lives and introducing people to the next, Oasis and Sam Fender and everything, but no, you're just playing what you're told to every time. I mean, I suppose you've come from a couple of, it'd be interesting to get your take on that, because obviously you did get signed early doors, you got a lot of airplay, and then you've gone away, and I know you are signed but to a label now, but like a relatively small indie label. So how have you found that?
The world's smallest indie label. Yeah, I think Chris Moyles is on a national breakfast show, And it's unlikely he's going to play unsigned on unheard bands. I think his comments are, I mean, obviously extremely upsetting and frustrating for most of us, but I mean, you know, what do you really expect? That said, Radio X does still play new music, not on the breakfast show. John Kennedy and his exposure, his weekend show's exposure, plays new and unsigned bands all the time. He played he was playing our single this weekend. So there are still some little bastions of new music champions on the big radio stations. And, of course, there's a huge amount of amazing podcasts and independent digital radio stations all over the place playing new, unsigned, indie guitar music. You know, it's just not going to be your national breakfast shows. But yeah, I mean, I haven't got a huge amount of time for Chris Moores, but you know, I don't think people should lose any heart. You know, just keep doing what you're doing. And there are, you know, there are people like the John Kennedys that are championing new music on the big stations.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gary Crowley, who's been a big supporter of you guys from the very early days.
Yeah, no, we're absolutely knocked out that Gary. He remembered who we were, but he did he played us a lot back in the day on his GLR show, and of course he DJed at Nebworth at the Oasis gigs, and he you know was a big support back in the day, and then played our comeback single Whispers and Tones on his show, so it felt like we'd come full circle. He's still doing what he's doing, and he's been a great champion for new bands. And as like I say, the likes of John Kennedy on XFM are still Radio X rather are still you know carrying the torch. So there are DJs willing to support new bands. You just gotta find them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, next up in our Oasis A to Z run is Go Let It Out, which was the lead single from Oasis' fourth album, Standing on the Shoulder of Giants. So this, I suppose, for you would be at a time when you were sort of in the throes of the band sort of ending, really, I suppose, 99 into 2000. So were you, do you remember this coming out?
Yeah, I do, actually, because obviously, you know, it was an interesting time for Oasis as well because, you know, they were, you know, one of the biggest bands in the world, obviously. a huge amount of expectation around any new material they put out. And this was I think it was the first single off the album, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, we were all waiting in bated breath. And hadn't Bonehead and Grizzly left?
Yeah, they'd left in the recording, yeah.
So I think there was a lot of anticipation, but also slight trepidation. Like, what were Oasis coming back with in this new, the new era? And I really loved this single actually at the time, and I listened to it just before coming on today, and actually, do you know what? I know it's not considered one of their greats, but I think I really enjoyed it. I remember enjoying it at the time, and I remember I think it went to number one.
Yeah.
It was a big hit, and I think to me, I was just listening. I think it might have one of the best bass lines on a Oasis track, and so I googled it before we came on, and it says Noel Gallagher playing bass, which I hadn't realised. I just think it's a great track that I hadn't listened to for a little while, but really enjoyed listening to this afternoon. Yeah. I don't know where it sits in your favourite Oasis singles, but. Yeah, no, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it was definitely. I have to have a look at where I put it because I did my great ranking the other day of every song ever recorded by the Gallaghers and their various guises, and this I'd say is a solid like 4 out of 5 for me. I don't think it's the, I don't think it's the you know the top end, and I think it's very you know derivative of the Beatles. Obviously, you've got that Mellotron, which is, you know, it's like it's very on the nose Mellotron, that it's basically Strawberry Fields, and it's got the and this was really the interestingly kind of, you know, having come out of Be Here Now, I suppose this is their, you know, they talked about being experimental. Noel was giving up drugs and they sort of, you know, let's try and change it up a bit. You know, where'd you go after Be Here Now? And it's got that little moment at the start where he's, when Noel goes, pick up the pace, and there's like a little record scratch.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was like their one moment where they tried to be kind of modern. And but then the rest of the album was pretty much, you know, Oasis, but a bit more psychedelic-y Oasis. But I think they were trying to mix it up a bit and sound a bit more psychedelic.
Yeah, and I think, but I do think it's a good calling card for the album, isn't it, in terms of sonically? Because there's moments on this album that I do really enjoy. Again, it's not my favourite Oasis album, but I think it's pretty indicative of what was to come. You know, on the album, and yeah, I enjoy it. I'd put it. It's probably not in my top 10 Oasis songs, but it's, you know, it's up there.
Mm. And there's there's an interesting one, like. I mean, lyrically as well, you know, obviously the chorus is a bit repetitive, but then the you know, just the repeating the go let it out, go let it in. But I really like the line. But yeah, it is ripped off from a poem. But I like the fact it's like, is it any wonder why princes and kings are clowns that caper in their sawdust rings? Ordinary people that are like you and me were the keepers of their destiny. And I just like that. There was sort of there's an anarchic sort of, you know, okay, he's not sort of man in the barricades, but there's always been this sort of, you know, there's a bit of anti-monarchist, a little bit of kind of class warfare in there. I like that.
Yeah, and it's just really nice imagery. I hadn't realised he'd stolen it from a poem, and you've kind of ruined it for me a little bit.
Sorry.
but it is, and it's a good vocal performance as well, I think. Actually, is another point to make. I think he does belt it out. And it's you know, Liam at the height of his powers. And you know, Alan White, he's Alan White on this one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Alan White giving it some. So I think musically it's a great track. It's a good kind of standard bearer for the album, I think. And,
yeah.
It certainly did its job and straight in at number one, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one
thumbs up for me.
Is it anyone else?
It's good stuff, and I think that's when he does rip something off, whether it's the riff from Get It On or you know, the melody from the New Seekers or whatever it is, or the Rottles, he's picked, you know, when he does steal stuff, he picks good stuff and assimilates it in, and it could be his work. So yeah. I still think, you know, hats off to him. But the that is a great line in that song, and it works well in the context. And you mentioned Gas Panic, but that's the song on this album for me. And I think that's a lot of you know, Oasis fans' favourite, I think, from this album. But yeah, that and Go Let It Out are my two favourites from the album.
Cool. And did you, just more generally about Oasis, I mean, was that something, obviously you guys were in the band sort of before Oasis sort of got signed and got big, so you were active throughout that time when you saw them rise, and then you guys sort of split sort of at the same time they kind of imploded but then got back together again. I mean, what did you sort of tend to sort of, you know, were you fans or were you just sort of eyeing them almost like rivals, or what did you think of them?
I'd love to think we were rivals with Oasis, James. But I think we're always fans of the band. I mean, they just made great moves. To be at the age we were and playing in bands when Live Forever is getting radio play, was just incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, they did, I'm sure a lot of your listeners were there at the time, but there'll be a lot of other listeners that have come to Oasis in later stages or even more recently, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, at the time, there wasn't anything else quite like them, and they did, you know, change the landscape for British guitar bands and people trying to do what we were doing. So, yeah, we weren't, you know, at the front at Nebworth or queuing up to see them at the Piccadilly in Manchester or at the 100 Club gig or wherever else people claim to have been. But, you know, we're definitely fans and definitely always interested to see what they were up to and what they were doing next. Yeah. So so something like Go Let Out, you know, after that hiatus, after, you know, after Be Here Now, and, you know, with the band, you know, some of the founding members leaving, we were very keen as a band to see what they were going to do next.
No, absolutely. Cool. All right. Well, look, brilliant. Thank you very much, Danny. It's been great to catch up, and as I say, I'll hopefully see you, you know, just down the road from me. You can come around and have a cup of tea if you want. I'm just down the road from that Oxford gig.
Brilliant. Well, yeah, there'll be five of us, so get some biscuits.
Yeah. Yeah,
so that's the 16th of June at the Jericho Tavern, which is if you are anywhere near Oxford, it's a fantastic and historic venue, really, for Oxford music. But, yeah, thanks very much for having us, and, yeah, see you soon.
Yeah, brilliant. All the best, Danny. Thanks so much, mate, and we'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, yeah. Speak soon. Bye, mate.
So thank you to Danny. Really good to catch up. We had a few technical difficulties there. I had to switch at one point from Zoom to recording the call a different way. But thanks for Danny for sticking with me. Do make sure you're checking out the album. I'll put a link in the description of the episode. And yeah, and if you can get down to that gig in Oxford, then make sure you get down there, because it would be a really, really great night. And I'll be there. So all good. Oh, talking of places I'm going to be. I mentioned it last episode, but yes, the 31st of March, if you're hearing this in time, I think there are still a couple of tickets left for the event up at Rockfield Studios, that Carl mentioned last time. So yeah, if you can get down there, if you want to get down there, I think it should be a really, really great event. So come on down and I hope we see you there. Right, next up, let's keep going, shall we, with Go Let It Out. It's going to be a pretty epic episode today. This is from Real Rock Radio and from the Oasis tribute band Standing on the Shoulder of Oasis, Nick Johnson.
Welcome to the Oasis podcast. Nick Johnson, how you doing, man?
Well, very fine. Thank you. And thanks for inviting me on. Really appreciate it.
Very good. Is it snowing with you up in the northwest?
Not yet. No. I think we're due it this afternoon. But I live quite high up in the Pennines, so we normally get it first. So
yeah.
But yeah, we haven't had any yet.
Yeah, we've had quite a bit of it down south, but it's not too bad. Not settling, so the kids still had to go to school, which is great. But yeah, so thank you very much for taking the time. It was sort of. You know, one of these, we're talking about Go Let It Out for our Oasis A to Z. And I've got, you know, a bit of chat I've already done with someone about it. But I just thought, you know, one of the things when we put it out there, what do people think of it? The comment kept coming back, bass line. And I just thought, you know what, I need to speak to someone that's played this bass line a lot. And as well as all your other various things, you are in an Oasis tribute band.
I am, that's right, yes. I'm actually in a band that was named after the album that Go Let It Out comes from. So we're Standing on the Shoulders of Oasis. So we nicked our band name from it because despite, you know, some people not liking the album very much, we all quite like certain tracks on the album. And this one for me, Go Let It Out, and Gas Panic are just two great, great tracks to play. You know, because the bass lines on them are really, really nice bass lines.
Yeah. And what's your background? You grew up in, because are you Manchester? Or are you?
I was born in Manchester, but I moved probably in 1992. I moved to the East Coast to start working in the holiday camps, actually, as an entertainer in exclamation marks. So that's what I did. Met my wife there. But while I was there, I was doing a lot of DJing in this, and I came across Oasis through that, not from living in Manchester, where you might have heard of them, but through some the DJing that I was doing at the time. I was played in a club in Scarborough every Friday, and somebody came along and asked, can you play Oasis? And I thought, I haven't got anything by a band called Oasis, but I'll
reggae
get
band.
You something. Yeah, I'll get you something for next week, and off I went and discovered Definitely Maybe, the album, discovered Live Forever, which is what he asked for, and bought it. And that began my love for Oasis, which, has took me full circle into a tribute band now.
And what about, was it always as a bass? Is bass your specialty, or is it just sort of...
Yeah, I mean, I learned to play bass when I was a teenager, and then put it down. And then, as I got older, I started to pick it back up, joined a punk band in my 30s. So around 13 years ago, joined a punk band. And then I got a call from somebody that I used to know in Scarborough, because by that point I'd moved to West Yorkshire, where I live now, to say, have you still got that bass that you had? And I was like, yeah, you fancy just coming and jamming with my Oasis tribute band? We've reformed, I think they formed originally in 2012, and then they took a bit of a break for a couple of them who were having kids, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then when they reformed, it was just the singer and the lead guitarist, so the Liam and Noel in the band, that rejoined and just needed somebody just to come and jam with them. Originally, it was just to jam with them as they auditioned some guitarists and a drummer. And then I thought, I'm quite enjoying this. So I ended up staying with the band, where I've been ever since.
Excellent. And it's so funny, because I do feel quite bad now. I've got a bass. I've got a McCartney Hofner style bass, obviously the very cheap version, and and I've picked it up now and again over the years, but I've never got good enough to play it, and so but even when just having sort of picked it up again recently and just started having to play through a few of them, I feel quite bad, actually, and I'd like to apologise right now to Paul McGuigan. I know he obviously listens every week. Although his sister does listen occasionally, but I've made quite a few jokes over the years about, Gwigs only plays root notes. That's all he does. He plays root notes. He plays real basic bass lines. And then you go into something like Supersonic or Rock and Roll Star. Like the Supersonic, you think, well, that's just going to be root notes. But then there's this lovely little riff in the chorus. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And you're like, that's not root notes. You know what I mean? That's, he's jumping up on the second and third strings and fifth and seventh frets. There's more to it than people think, so I just want to put that out there, really.
No, I think you're right. I mean, a lot of the Oasis bass lines are based around root notes. But yeah, you're right. And in general, I think people say that, is it not a bit dull and boring when playing Oasis bass? And I don't think they've really tuned into the bass on the songs. That's a great one, Supersonic. It's a great one. If we're looking at the earlier stuff, there's some nice little slides in Live Forever, which I quite like. Particularly the second album, you've got some nice little bass riffs on a number of songs. Morning Glory has a really nice one. Obviously, Cigarettes and Alcohol's got a brilliant bass line, which is so fun to play. I think it can be a bit disparaging when people think it's, you know, an easy job. I mean, you know, I find it easy, but that's because I've been listening to Oasis all my life. So I'm tuned into the sound of that. But yeah, so I think, yeah, it's a great shout. I mean, he was a very good bass player, I thought. And I think, you know, they're almost the glue that keeps the band together, the bass player and the bass lines do. And I think, you know, they do get more complicated. The bass riffs get more complicated as the albums evolve. But I think you find that with every band.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I love about it is just the little moments. And this is my thing with the bass, is that if you don't really focus on it, it can just blend in. It just becomes part of the overall palette. But there's a choice, isn't there? When you arrange a song, you have a choice to make. Are we just going to go low, or are we going to go high, or are we going to go rhythmic, or are you going to stop? There's that choice. And I think Noel, as an arranger, had such a brilliant ear for that. So he knows, like, when the right time. So something like Champagne Supernova, for instance, when you get into the chorus, you'd think, because it's sort of, there's been various bits on the bass and slides and things like that. And then when you get into the chorus, when everything kicks off, you think, well, is the bass going to do something big? But it doesn't. It goes down to just very simple, even open string. And you go, he knows that that's not the time to be doing something distracting on the bass. Just give the bass to be there, to just give that foundation and let the melody come through. And he knows what he's doing, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's a different band, though. I mean, Oasis is a sound. It's a specific sound. Now, if you look at a band like Joy Division, with Hookie as the bass player, very much the prominence of most of those tracks were his bass lines. They were very prominent in the mix. They didn't do a lot of solo work in any of their songs, because his brilliant bass playing was very much more like a lead guitar for the band. And it's different. I mean, Oasis are a different band. It's rock and roll. So having that rhythmic bass line and being in complete tune with the drumming is as important as Noel's guitar solos. And you're right, in a lot of the songs, he chose when was the right time for the bass riff to take, you know, center stage, if you like, or certainly be prominent in the mix. You know, you can put that down to the great producing as well. But when you see them live or hear them live, you get a completely different dynamic from the bass, because obviously it has its own life in a live setting. And the bass player can be a bit naughty as well and just start to noodle, which I do sometimes. and I get a look. I get
one of them looks. That's not what he does on the record. Yeah. But I mean, moving on to Go Let It Out, which is the track that we're talking about. I mean, what I find really interesting about this is that, and as people have pointed out in the replies, this is Noel Gallagher playing the bass. And there's rumours that Noel has played the bass on other tracks that are credited to Quicks, because he just went back in and just overdubbed a million things. And so did he play over the bass? You know, we don't know. But we know for definite here he is credited as playing bass on a number of Stand on the Shoulder tracks, including this one. And I suppose the fact he's in the video playing the bass as well, your eyes drawn to it, because it's so much clearer. But yeah, this is a very different bass line. Once again, there's a lot more eye-catching things. It is like almost similar to like a Peter Hook bass line in moments, where it is almost like the lead melody.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there is space in the mix for the bass to come out, and you really hear it. What's nice about it is you can see there's some processing that's gone into place with the bass. It's slightly distorted, which I think is quite prominent as well, because rather than it being a typical bass sound, it's got a bit of growl and a lot of bottom end in it. And I think because, well, the way I play it, I play it a lot on the higher strings. You need that, and it's really prominent. It's what I've always referred to as a lead guitarist bass riff, mm-hmm. and that you know that the lead guitarist has had some involvement in writing that bass riff. And it was clear that it was perhaps a guitarist that got the hands on the bass for that particular track. And as we know it was him that played on that particular track on bass. But it's quite bluesy, there's a lot of hammer-ons going on in the track, and I think it's quite fun to play. He even refers to it in the song.
Yeah.
Which is, well, helps me because it's a cue for me to get going when we play it live.
Yeah. Oh yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Although some people say he says pick up the pace, but I've always liked
think he's pick up the bass. Yeah. I think maybe it is pick up the pace.
Yeah, I like the fact it's pick up the bass because it do 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 afterwards. So yeah. Sorry, technical term. What's a hammer-on?
It's where you would strike a string, and then you would, rather than taking your finger off the string, you would place your second finger on another string, so it's like you're hammering on from a previous note. So that's what a hammer on is.
Cool. Okay. and one of the things about this bass line in particular, so when people think about it and when people are commenting, oh yeah, the go like that bass line is great, I think it's a couple of things. I think it's in the verse where he's going, which to me is very Paul McCartney. And obviously what you've got here is it is a, especially with the mellotron when it comes in later and everything. And because there isn't that much going on, it's mainly an acoustic song. Mm. And so it has got that space to breathe. So that's a really lovely kind of melodic driving force. And then, like we were saying earlier, he knows when to take it back and simplify. So then when you get into the go let it out, go let it in section, he just goes to do 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 to give it that foundation again. Exactly, and then it's so clever how he knows he knows when to hold it back.
Yeah, and I think that's quite obvious in a lot of Oasis tracks where you'll see, where they just let this song breathe a little bit. There are some tracks where they're just they're just going at that track from start to finish, and all the instruments are on the go all time. But I think in this one, there are some, there's a lot of space in this song, which you perhaps wouldn't typically find in an Oasis track, where there is a little bit of a switch of pace. That's what I like about the track. There are those little bits where the bass takes hold, and the melody comes through from through the bass, and then the parts where it's just joining in with whatever's going on as well. Mm. And it's just a nice little juxtaposition, really, in the song.
Mm. I love the bit then, obviously, we've said that there's that very melodic, riff throughout the verses elements, and then into the middle eight and then the chorus, it just pretty much follows through just to give the song that drive that it needs at that point. But then when we have that breakdown near the end and he's doing that slide up, once again, it's something that he does quite a lot. And I think once again, that sort of feels like a McCartney thing to me. That's a Beatles thing, right?
I think so. It's something that you would, you probably heard it a few times on McCartney songs, or McCartney written songs, through the Beatles, definitely.
Yeah.
We all take our influence from somewhere. So, but I think that's, I just thought it was stylistically quite a different song. And I know he's dissed the album a little bit, but I think for me, there are some really good songs on the album that, you know, Go Let It Out. It's probably the standout track, I would say.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it's a great one, and it's a fun one for you to play live.
Yeah, like I say, because it's slightly different, and we've probably only been playing it in the set for the last 2 years. It was one that we had a chat about and wanted to add in, you know, because it's. I mean, I don't know. I can only remember seeing them play it live once. I've seen them about 5 or 6 times. And I think Liam's voice in it's quite snarly, and I particularly like that about that track. In that, you know, he adds a lot with the way that he attacks it vocally. So yeah, I mean, it's one I really enjoy playing.
And does it get a big crowd reaction?
I think it's mixed because I think the fourth album, I think. You know, they lost a little bit of an audience by the fourth album. But there's certainly the choruses. You can see the crowds getting into the chorus because they know the chorus.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just got to play what you want to play yourself and be a bit selfish. But yeah, obviously it's not one of the anthems, but yeah, it's one of those tracks that, you know, selfishly we'll play because we like it.
Yeah. I remember talking to my friend Ian, who's in a tribute band, and they love playing Gas Panic, like you mentioned Gas Panic earlier. But you just know, like, they've played it a few times, and when they do, everyone just buggers off to the bar and just like, oh,
it's the go to the bar song, is it?
Yeah.
That's interesting because it's one that we got back in the rehearsal room a couple of weeks ago for the first time this year. We tend to not do anything between January and April, and that was one song we started to sort of work through. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if we do actually play it live, how, you know, if we get that same, you know, that same response, I guess that's what will happen.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. And then going into Beyond Go Let It Out, like, obviously you've got the Andy Bell comes in then after that, and the bass lines, you know, they do then get a bit more complex. You know, and it's even tracks. I was playing through the Hindu Times the other day, and you wouldn't think the Hindu Times, you know, it's not one you would think, bass line. But actually, when you look at it, you go, Christ, he's all over the fretboard. He's up doing little riffs and he's up and down. And it's, you know, and I think people don't think about that. They just think about, oh, yeah, Oasis, solid, you know, they don't do anything.
Solid rock and roll song type of
thing.
No,
he's all over the place on that. You know, he does so many interesting things.
Yeah, I mean, I was a massive Ride fan anyway, so when he joined the band, I thought, well, that'll be interesting to see. You know, whether or not he injects any of that, you know, that some of the riffs that you'll hear on Ride songs. I know he didn't necessarily play on them all, but to see how that might do. But yeah, I mean, technically, his skills are different to McGuigan. But yeah, I mean, his bass riffs are very, very interesting, and they're very enjoyable to play as well. You know, on some of the tracks that we do from that era. Yeah, I, you know, I've always enjoyed him as a musician.
I really like he's sort of, I think he ended up using it a little bit too much, but you've got the like the Taxman riff, effectively, that dun, 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 or like variations of that comes in quite a lot, and you could tell it's, once again, I suppose it's like you were saying earlier, it's like the lead guitar player playing a bass line.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and I think that's what you'll find. and particularly, you know, on the later stuff, and you know, when you see him play live, yeah, he doesn't just want to be, you know, the side project, if you like. Mm-hmm. And you can see a lot in the more the newer tracks that Oasis wrote that you could see had his stamp on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as the bass player.
No, brilliant. Great. All right. Well, look, thank you very much for that. I mean, so just to tell the kids, so you've got Standing on the Shoulder of Oasis, plus you're a DJ as well.
That's right. Yeah, I do the punk and alternative rock show on a small internet station called Real Rock Radio. My show goes out on Saturday night at 11. So I've been doing that for about 2 years. Quite enjoy it. Getting to meet, you know, lots of interesting musicians. We do interviews. We just tend to play what I want to play, which is, I know it's a bit selfish, but it's but yeah, we have a good audience, and it's a nice show to do. Yeah.
Mm. And well, and you mentioned, I think it was before we started recording, but you spoke to Steve Diggle from the Buzzcocks, and
yeah, we've had Steve on the show. That was interesting because he was talking about the fact that I mean, I don't think he lives there now, Liam, but his house used to back on to Liam's house, so their back gardens were separated by a railway track. But he says, yeah, he used to go drinking with him quite often, have him around the house quite a bit. So yeah, I mean, the only differences they had was I think Steve's a red and obviously Liam's a blue, so they didn't talk about football. That's what Steve said anyway. So we've had Steve on the show. I've had Glenn Matlock from the Sex Pistols recently. I've interviewed one of my bass heroes, which is a guy called Mark Burgess from a band called Chameleons, who were a Manchester band, sort of early 80s Manchester band. Yeah, I've had a number of people on, and it's been good to kind of meet with your heroes virtually. It's been really great.
Mm. And today you got to meet me virtually, so another one of your heroes.
And of course, I mean, yes, you know, I mean, that goes without saying, which is why I didn't say it.
Oh, brilliant. All right, well, look, and where can the kids find? So as well, Standing on the Shoulder of Oasis and Real Rock Radio.
Real Rock Radio, yeah. Usuals, you know, the Facebooks, the interwebs. I'm sure the youngsters know where to find those two things if they want to look for it. But yeah, it's been great to get on the show, because I do listen to some of the podcasts and really enjoy it. So thank you for having me on.
No problem at all. And we'll finish with a track of your choice. Is there anything, obviously, other than Go To Out, any other track that jumps out that means a lot to you or is particularly fun to play?
Yeah, there is actually. It's Roll It Over from Standing on the Shoulders of Giants, because I just think it's an amazing song. I think the you know, the choir in the background, it generally does send tingles through the spine. And then when Liam played it last year, in his live shows at Nebworth, which you know, I was lucky to be there for, that made that gig for me. So I think that'd be the one I would like to play.
Brilliant. All right, well, we'll finish with that. But thank you so much, Nick. Great to speak to you, mate. And
thank you very much. Yeah,
cheers. So thank you, Nick. Greatly appreciated. Make sure you're checking out Standing on the Shoulder of Oasis if they're playing anywhere near you. And yeah, Real Rock Radio, that weekend show sounds really good, especially getting some brilliant guests on it. You know, for an internet radio show, that's absolutely fantastic, isn't it? Glenn Matlock and Steve Diggle and like, brilliant stuff. Okay, and we had a couple of audio messages come in, so let's hear from Oliver.
Is it any wonder why princes and kings I'm making that sound shit, and it's absolutely brilliant. I think it's an absolute banger of a song. I love the acoustic at the start. I even quite like Noel's to get us into the second verse. Click on the bass. I love the Strawberry Fields Mellotrons. I remember when it came out, a critic said, "Go let what out exactly, Noel?" And I thought, you pretentious prat. It's a great rock and roll song. It doesn't have to mean anything, and it really grooves. And I saw them on the Wembley night, the one where Liam wasn't pissed, and it opened it up so good. And the whole audience, the whole crowd singing that last refrain over and over just warmed the audience up to sing their heads off all night. I think it's an absolute banger, and it's a 5 out of 5 for me.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate that. Yeah, some very good points. Not too sure about the singing at the start, but good shout. As someone who sings on this podcast unnecessarily quite regularly. And yeah, really good points. I don't remember. I did see them in 2000 at Wembley, but I don't actually remember sort of this song being played like a memory. But yeah, it is when you watch it back on videos from the time. Yeah, it's really impressive. Everyone's into it. And yeah, I agree. I don't really care when critics have a go at things. I mean, I'm a critic myself, I suppose, in a way. But, you know, whatever. If you like it, like it. Don't. If someone says something's crap, you don't agree with it, just ignore them. That's what I intend to do. All right, brilliant stuff. Thank you, Oliver. And next up, we're going to hear from Steve Mahoney.
Greetings, this is Steve Mahoney reporting to the Oasis podcast. I'm on the mean streets of central London once again. Did this segment in the pub, but it was too loud. So here I am, a pint in, and I want to talk about Go Let It Out. I saw the tweet, and it's a great song that's, in my eyes, rather underappreciated. So I thought I'd talk about it a little bit. I think it's a brilliant piece of music, and it obviously shows a sort of a distinct difference between Oasis Mark 1 and 2, in that now we've got the kind of very epic religion referencing lyrics from Noel, the longer hair and the kind of very much a different phase, and the bass is very different on this song. But I have to say that sonically and musically this song is really interesting, and I think, like I say, it's underappreciated. Got the key change going on, which they've done obviously on All Around the World, but that's more like sort of drugs in the form of music there, whereas on this one I think it goes into a really interesting psychedelic sort of hole and comes back in a higher key. And then I love the sort of lead guitar that Gem did live, but I don't know who did it in the studio, on the fade out. You know, some of the lyrics are a bit weird with the sister psychosis and the keepers of their destiny. Again, it's kind of like Led Zepp sort of epic kind of shooting for the big thing, whereas a few years earlier they were singing about lasagna and fishes in the sink and stuff. But you know, nonsense lyrics never really bothered me, you know, at the time or now, if the melody's great and the song's great. And Go Let It Out, I believe, Let's All Make Believe was the B-side, so it carried on the tradition of the early Oasis, where, you know, when you bought the single you were excited about the B-sides as well. And like Let's All Make Believe, I don't know why that wasn't on the album, but obviously we're not talking about that. But Go Let It Out, love it, appreciate it. I, you know, Noel covered it and Liam, but obviously I think Liam has to sing it, but as long as he can sing it, because it's a bit stretching. Only heard it live in those sort of boozy 2000-2002 gigs where I don't really remember, and by then Liam's voice was kind of changing. But you know, it's a distinct memory with the longer hair and the weird video where they're under a canopy in the rain. Anyway, I'm actually giving it 4.5 out of 5. You can't do halves on Twitter, but I did put 5. So I'm enthused by it. I think it's a well-written piece of music and well-performed, and I love it. While I'm here, I've got a gig on the 24th of March at the Harrison in London, which is a small sort of folky basement where I'm going to be releasing my record. If anyone wants to come from the Oasis podcast fandom, you're very welcome, and I'll buy you a beer and maybe play some Oasis tunes, you know, and have a good night. So thanks a lot, James. See you soon, everyone. Go Let It Out. Bonjour.
Awesome. Thank you, Steve. Greatly appreciated. And if anyone's around in London and can make that gig, that'd be cool. And we have been talking about getting Steve on, actually, being he knows sort of all the places in London, sort of maybe do a bit of a Oasis in London kind of discussion. So maybe look to do that in the next few months. And yeah, a couple of points raised there. The acoustic guitar, I haven't really mentioned this actually, but I think it's fantastic. Like, if you listen to it, he's really being bashed out, you know, that he's really cranking out those chords on the acoustic guitar. I think it sounds fantastic. I don't think we flagged it up before, but I think there's definitely an element of Dry the Rain by the Beta Band. Is sort of, there's a similarity there. Definitely a bit of inspiration, I think. And also another little bit of inspiration is in the lyric, in a most peculiar way, which is David Bowie, Space Oddity. And I'm floating in a most peculiar way, which is, yeah, pretty full on again. So it is another good pinch there. But yeah, it's also a really good point about the key change. You know, that sort of modulation, you know, I think I talked about it, what was the Westlife getting off the stools moment. But no, I think it works so well in here. The way it builds up through the chorus, through the breakdown, through the Magical Mystery Tour kind of weird noises, and then the whistle bang into the big final chorus with a key change as well to give it that lift. I think it works fantastically well. Right. I think that will about do it, won't it? I think so. So thank you very much for listening to the Oasis podcast. Most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is and it's greatly appreciated. You can become a patron at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where I post bonus episodes and alternate versions of episodes and things like that. Just to say, coming up next will probably be the best song of the 2000s with some patrons. So that's what it tends to be. If you're a patron, especially if you're on Discord, when I've got an idea for an episode, or if someone suggests something, who's around? Who wants to do it? And I'll tend to get people from the Discord or from the Patreon wider to get involved in episodes. So if you'd like to be part of the community and get involved in that sort of thing, then Patreon, and then signing up to the Discord from the Patreon is probably the way to do that. So yeah, and then also if you are a patron, the sort of best song of the decade episodes, I did the same thing with last time, which is that it goes up on Patreon as a full like radio show with full tracks involved, because here on the main podcast we can only drop in clips. But yeah, if you want to have a proper, like, I think last one was like 3 hours long or something. So, because, you know, playing all the tracks is absolutely fantastic. It's a really good listening experience. So, yeah, if you want to pay me a quid a month or more, then that would be appreciated, because money is good. All right, that will do it for today. Thank you very much for listening. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and pick up your face.